Welcome to the Healing Trauma Podcast. I'm your host, Monique Coven. I'm a certified trauma recovery coach, and this podcast is all about hope and recovery. Hi, everyone, and welcome back. So today I'm going to share a conversation I had with trauma therapist Vanessa Pazo, and we're going to be talking about the window of tolerance. This is a concept that you hear a lot in the trauma community, and so I thought it would be great if we could explore that a little bit. What is that? How do we know what the window of tolerance is in relation to our own experience? How do we get out of it? How do we get back into it? And so on. So I do hope that you find this episode helpful. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, Monique.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Excited to talk to you today about the window of tolerance and what that is. We hear a lot about the window of tolerance in it's the language of trauma. And I thought maybe you could explain to the audience, what do they mean by the window of tolerance?
Absolutely. So when people talk about the window of tolerance, what they mean is that you are in a space where you are feeling calm, you're feeling regulated, you're feeling connected, you're feeling playful. So when we're in our window of tolerance, we can manage whatever kind of life stuff comes at us, whether that's challenges or stressors. They feel manageable when we are in our window of tolerance. We can kind of ride the wave of life's challenges and deal with whatever comes up.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. So how does trauma then impact the window of tolerance or a person's window of tolerance?
So trauma survivors can have an impacted window of tolerance where your window actually becomes smaller or more narrow than maybe someone who has not experienced traumatic life experiences or stressors. So what that means is that we're more easily triggered outside of our window. Maybe there's stress that happens, or maybe there's trauma-related triggers. It's a little bit easier for someone with a trauma history to be bumped outside of their window of tolerance, which means that they would be placed into a state of either hyperarousal or hypoarousal. So typically, a trauma survivor is dealing with a more narrow window of tolerance, which means that they can become dysregulated more easily.
Yes, and I'm sure people can relate to that. You know, you can just, and this happens with so many people, they're comparing, like, you know, why am I responding this way? Everybody seems to be okay with this. Why do I feel like I'm about to jump out of my skin? So how do we know when we are in our window of tolerance?
So when you're in your window of tolerance, you can think about it as feeling probably more capable and like life is more manageable. So not that everything is perfect and there's nothing, you know, going on that's stressful or that's challenging, but you're just more able to deal with those things as they arise. That's also typically when you're going to feel more connected to other people. You are going to feel more playful, even more capable of having loving and positive feelings versus when you're outside of your window of tolerance. You would notice in the, for example, the hyper arousal zone that stress and things can put you into, you're going to be more anxious, you're going to feel more overwhelmed, you're going to have more stress hormones kind of flooding through your body. So things are going to feel much different. The opposite of that is you can also go outside of your window of tolerance into hypoarousal. That's when you're going to feel more like low energy, more tired, disconnected, maybe kind of in that freeze response or collapsed. And so oftentimes we can learn about our window of tolerance by paying attention to when we're not in our window of tolerance, and we can start to see the patterns that way as well.
Yeah, so you're really describing the hierarchy, the polyvagal theory. It's just named a little bit different.
Yes, it is very much like the polyvagal theory. And kind of just depending on where you've learned about polyvagal theory, sometimes you'll see that like a ladder, and they'll show the states of nervous system responses kind of being in a ladder. The window of tolerance is very similar, but when you kind of see a visual for the window of tolerance, you'll notice like when you're in your window, you're kind of centered. And when you are pushed out of your window, you'll go either up into hyperarousal or you'll kind of go down into hypoarousal. So a similar idea, but I really like the kind of visual that comes with the window of tolerance because you can think of, when I'm getting pushed up out, that's hyperarousal. That's like that mobilized stress energy, jitteriness. And when I'm being pushed down outside of my window, that's like literally feeling low, feeling down. So I find that I connect at least to that visual. It kind of helps me put that information into place.
So what would you say moves people out of your window?
So things that can push someone out of their window could be stressful life experiences, could be challenges, just kind of the typical things that come up in our day-to-day life. Sometimes things are really hard, and it's not really possible or feasible to stay within your window of tolerance all the time. That's not how life works. But when you are someone who has experienced trauma, because your window is more narrow, it's easier to get pushed out. And what comes with traumatic experience as well can be trauma-related triggers. So when someone experiences a trigger, maybe a reminder of past trauma, a sight, a smell, lots of things can be trauma reminders. Those can also be, catalysts to getting pushed out of your window and getting into a more dysregulated state.
So, what happens if we get moved out of our window?
So it'll depend on which direction you go in. So if you are pushed out of your window and you go into what's called hyperarousal, you can think about that as having an increase in stress energy and your fight or flight stress response is being triggered. So typically your body's releasing stress hormones like adrenaline or like cortisol. So you may find that your heart races, that you feel jittery or very tense. Maybe your thoughts are racing. You feel anxious or overwhelmed because you're kind of processing all that the stress energy or those stress hormones that are, now getting pumped to your body. The alternative would be when you go into that hypoarousal place, you'll notice more of a kind of shutdown or freeze response. So things might feel very overwhelming, but you'll feel more sad, more tired, more disconnected. That kind of loss of energy.
So, you have some sort of a 5-point check-in. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah. So I love to teach my clients about the window of tolerance because I think it's a really great tool just to start to understand, who we are and how we respond to certain situations. And one of the first steps is starting to really practice checking in with yourself and noticing where you are in the first place. It's hard to know if I'm in my window or what phase I'm in if I don't really have that kind of connection to my internal experience. And so I've found that using this 5-point check-in, with my clients in session can be a really useful tool of helping them to start to notice where they are. And then we can start to decide, well, what do we do with that information? But if you'd like, I can kind of take you through the check-in and you can see what it's like, and we can introduce it that way.
Yeah, sure.
Awesome. Okay, so I'll lead you through this 5-point check-in, and what we'll be doing here is simply taking a few moments to just notice, what's happening internally. We're not going to be trying to change anything. There's no right, there's no wrong. It's simply a practice of awareness. So I will invite you to first start off with your breath. Just take a moment and notice your breath. No need to change it. Just noticing how you're breathing. Is your breath flowing? Does it feel easy? Are you holding your breath? Is it restricted in any way? And just noticing. Once you've checked in with your breath, I'll invite you to just check in with your energy level. Are you feeling energized? Are you feeling fatigued? Is your energy rising? Maybe it's falling. And again, remembering there's no right or wrong, we're just noticing. Next, I invite you to check in with your emotions. What are you feeling here in this moment? And can you identify that emotion in one word? And just notice it. Next, we'll move to our thoughts. Not getting caught up in the content of our thoughts, but checking in on the pattern of our thoughts. Are my thoughts focused? Am I jumping from thought to thought? Are my thoughts flowing by rapidly? Or does my head feel clear? And again, no judgment, just noticing. Last, I'll ask you to check in with your body. Just starting at the top of your head and gently scanning your way down. Noticing any areas carrying any sensation. You might find certain areas are carrying tension or discomfort. And you may find other areas of your body feeling ease or relaxed. Or maybe some places just feel neutral. And just noticing. And so now that you've taken some time to engage yourself in this check-in, just take note of anything that you noticed. And I invite you to do anything you might need in this moment. Whether it's a deep breath, maybe a gentle stretch or a movement. And when you're ready, just coming back into your space, coming back into this call,
That
and welcome back.
was nice.
Nice. Yeah, I find that to be really a nice tool, pretty easy. It's just 5 points. We're not trying to, make any big changes. We're not trying to change how we feel. It's just nice to sometimes, do those check-ins with yourself and pay attention to where you are.
Yeah, because so often we are just racing around without any any kind of awareness of what we're feeling in the moment. So that's really cool. So do you have them do this themselves? Like they write this down and they do this?
They can. It's a skill and a tool. That if it lands for them, if it's something that they find useful, that they're more likely to start to use it, throughout the week or throughout the day. And we do some other activities as well to help them kind of learn more about window of tolerance and understanding their own responses. So this definitely kind of pairs along with those other things that we do.
Okay, good. What strategies can you bring that, I mean, that would help you to come back into your window?
Yeah, so there's lots of good strategies. And the first thing is really knowing where you are. Because if you're outside of your window of tolerance, like I've brought up, you can be in different places, right? You could be at this kind of activated space where you are mobilized because your body's perceiving some type of a threat. And so you're in more of a hyper arousal. Or you may be in a low place where you're in that hypo arousal place. You may need different things. So the first step is really starting to understand what does your window look like? So I'll often have folks reflect on, what am I like when I'm in my window of tolerance? How do I feel emotionally? What are my thoughts like? What are my behaviors like when I'm in that zone? We'll also do that for the hyper arousal zone and the hypo arousal zone and focusing on those same types of things. What does my body feel like? What are my thoughts like? What am I doing? So that can start to become a powerful tool, and then figuring out, well, now that I can figure out where I am, what can I do? So strategies that some people might use for hyper arousal are things that are going to be more grounding, things that are going to help your body settle and manage some of that stress energy. So this could be, going on a walk. This could be using sensation, like some folks will like to use maybe an ice cube to the back of the neck. Those things feel more grounding, kind of bringing you back down into your window. There are certain scents that people like to use, like lavender is often a calming scent. So thinking about things that really bring you down. And so that could be different for everyone. So I usually just encourage folks to try out different things and kind of using your five senses as a tool. So are there certain textures that I like to feel? And does that feel grounding to me? Is there a certain music I like? And that's something that's soothing towards me. Are there certain flavors or scents that feel soothing? And then those can kind of be in my hyper arousal toolkit versus, hypo. Low, so I actually need to bring some energy and movement or life kind of back into my body. So that might look different. I may need an energizing scent like eucalyptus instead, or I may need to find music that uplifts me versus bringing me down. And so we have to kind of build our toolkit out by experimenting and by practicing and seeing what effect different things have on that individual person.
So how can we expand our window from, like you talked about different ways we can come out of it with these different tools, but how can we start to expand our window so it's not so narrow?
So expanding your window is something that is often a task that a trauma survivor will have to embark on because your window is a little bit more narrow. And so an important task could be to start to become more aware of what your personal triggers are, because oftentimes I've found that if we don't really think about what triggers us, that a lot of times things kind of feel like they're coming at us out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, I feel anxious, or all of a sudden, I feel distressed, and I don't always know why. So, the more we can start to reflect on the times that we get pushed out of our window, the more we can develop some insight around what are those things that are really triggering to me, so I can have a plan in place of what to do when those things arise. Another thing to think about is notice, do you tend to go more into hyperarousal or hypoarousal? And if so, what are the things that keep me stuck there and prevent me from kind of returning back to my window at a more easy fashion? So, if I'm in a state outside of my window, does my thinking get really kind of dark, or do I start to really get down on myself? And can I start to shift some of those patterns so that I can return to that window in a more kind of timely, easy fashion? Because, like I said, the goal isn't that you're going to always be in your window of tolerance all the time, but with a more regulated nervous system, you don't have to necessarily get kind of stuck in those other zones of feeling overwhelmed and anxious or feeling really down and depressed. And another thing to consider is that as a trauma survivor, we often have to build our ability to really tolerate distress and not kind of avoid it or run from it. So, can I start to let myself feel these feelings when they come up so that I can, kind of feel it and let it go? Or am I someone who's maybe avoiding feeling and avoiding things that I know are distressing to me, but over time that actually makes it worse for me. So if we can learn to tolerate distress, we can kind of ride the wave of that emotion and then, get back to a more settled or calm place.
Yeah, and I love the somatic approaches where they say that you do this in a very gentle, slow, titrated kind of way so that you don't, your body doesn't just you do it and then it gets overwhelmed and it shuts down. But if you say, can I tolerate, I don't know, 3 minutes of this feeling or something like that, in a slow way.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we can kind of let ourselves start to practice feeling certain things in a measured way. And sometimes people will even describe that as you're kind of like bumping up against the edges of your window. So can I do those small things that help me kind of bump up against that edge? And then I can kind of come back, right? I can regulate, I can soothe, I can settle.
Yeah.
And then again later, I can do something else. Maybe I can have that tough conversation with my boss or with my partner. And then I can practice something that helps me soothe and come back. And those experiences over time teach my nervous system, I can enter into these more stressful experiences, these things that are distressing, and I have the ability to ground and soothe after. I don't need to be flooded or overwhelmed by these. And you'll start to have more of that kind of that gentle cascade of the up and down that we want versus these really sharp kind of activations and then dropping back down into hypoarousal and then activating up again, right? We don't want these sharp ups and downs. We want to kind of ride the wave of life and challenges and know that we can take care of ourselves and get back to where we need to be.
Yes, right. Oh, I love this. I love this so much because it just it really it's really the center of what trauma survivors have to deal with when it comes to their nervous system. It's this really being able to tolerate what to many feels like too much, and then like you were describing, we just completely are out of our window and then we're shut off or shut down. So I love this this idea of learning to gently expand it so that it can slowly over time become just more flexible, right?
Absolutely. So the goal is really to have a nervous system that is responsive to our environment. All of these responses that our body does, they do serve a purpose. And a lot of times that purpose is to keep us safe or to help us, get away from something that might be dangerous to us. But we know that if you've had trauma, that sometimes our nervous system can be over responsive. And so we can use these practices to kind of teach our nervous system how to respond more appropriately and also how to kind of settle back into that more calm and peaceful place that we need to be in when we want to think and problem solve and plan and do all the stuff that requires full access of, our full brain and all of our faculties.
Yes. This was so good. Is there anything else that you want to share about the window of tolerance?
I would say that I always think that knowledge is power. So if this model of looking at the nervous system lands for you, that there is lots of information out there about the window of tolerance and lots of stuff that you can try and practice and see what works for you. And just know that we're all different. We all like different things. We all find different things either soothing or energizing. And so sometimes it's almost like being a scientist with yourself because you got to experiment a little bit and figure out, what works for me. And there can be some fun in that as well. And so if this is something that resonates for you, I really encourage you to practice different things, different scents, different smells, different physical sensations, different movements, and create your own personal toolkit that you can use to, widen that window up.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much, Vanessa. If people want to find out more about your work, where do they go?
Yeah, so you can find me on my website, which is longbeachtraumatherapy.com, and I'm also on Instagram as the trauma therapist.
Great. All right. Well, thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Trauma recovery coaching involves learning about nervous system regulation, inner child healing parts work and regulating tools and attachment healing and so much more. To find out more about my trauma recovery coaching options, you can reach me on my website at www.cptsdcoach.com. I also have a Facebook and Instagram page at CPTSD Coach.